Before we get started, there's something you should know about the Chonilla podcast. We like to cuss. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then listen to us when they're not around. But if you don't mind your kids listening to grown folks talk, then turn this shit up and let the show begin.
Are they white?
Nope.
Okay.
Feel that shit, nigga. Feel that shit in your lungs, nigga. Yeah. Kid was about to break your arm.
I don't think they're from the U.S., though.
Really? Oh. So we don't...
I'm allergic to pussy ass niggas cause y'all act like vagina. My shit licks and anus. Fuck me, I bring your balance. Motherfuckers know the name. K.Y. I'm gonna bring the heat. I'm gonna bring the fucking heat.
Ride the beat.
Slow down, man.
Fuck me. I'm gonna fucking Andrew Rush cause I'm fucking sane. Y'all motherfucker act like fucking pop up. I'm a beast. I bring this beast. This ain't no good. Fuck me cause I'm a fucking genius. I put a fucking Glock cause I'm making bitches fucking my Glock. I'm a fucking genius. This street, bitch. Fuck me. I put a fucking.
Okay, I don't think I can handle any more of this.
Is this a joke?
Oh, you don't give a shit, man. K.Y. so much ink. I'll show you.
Yeah, I don't think I can handle any more of that.
Welcome to the Chonilla Podcast.
I'm Chloe.
And I am Shirley, a.k.a. Cecile Fatiman. That's right. If you don't know who she is, she's like the most famous Mambo Haitian voodoo priestess in the Haitian Revolution.
Okay.
Very important.
All right.
So that's who I am this week.
Sounds good.
Welcome to the Chonilla Podcast. It's a personal comedy journal of an interracial couple, which is us. Who explores the world from different perspectives and experiences.
Wait, you're interracial?
But we talk about different things like culture, society, current events,
the trash.
Trash, the world, and so much more. So thank you so much for being here today with us.
And it is 3:27 p.m. on a Sunday, September 8th. 2019.
In the motherfucking Easter time.
Exactly.
Forgot about that.
So did I. Don't worry about it. So how you been, sweetie?
I've been good. I'm good.
Yeah.
It's been kind of like, I guess we'll go into it in the jibber jabber, but.
Hold on 1 second.
What? What's going on with you?
Nothing. You know what I mean? I'm just chilling here with my coffee, getting ready to get into this show.
Yeah. And we were a little, you know, trying to get the rust off of us.
Yes.
Right? It's been a while.
Yeah. It's pretty dusty in here.
Yeah. Are you following the notes order? Because
nope,
you're not.
I am totally
not. That's why
not.
I'm like, so, hey.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm trying not to point that out, but I'm going to point it out. Because I'm like,
I don't think I have it up anymore.
He's not following the order.
No,
so
I don't have
like,
it up anymore.
What's going on here? You're supposed to, like, you know.
Yeah, I'll get to it. Don't worry. It's in my shared drive, right?
I think so.
Okay, share it with me.
So, to get back to it, you're okay. I'm all right.
I don't know.
Everybody knows what's the show.
Right.
That's the introduction. We've done that part.
Okay.
So.
The word of the day?
Yeah.
Inosculate.
Inosculate. Let me guess. Inosculate. Speculate.
Let me give you a sentence and you can try to guess from there, okay?
Okay.
Continuous mountain ranges, which from an early period must have parted river systems and completely prevented their inosculation, seems... Oh, yeah, that's it.
What? Read that again?
Continuous mountain ranges, which from an early period must have parted river systems and completely prevented their inosculation.
Something about separation?
Yes.
Something about stopping a separation?
Yes, very close. It's joining by intertwining or fitting closely together.
Joining, okay.
Well, inosculate.
I don't know if I will use that word. I don't know how I can use it.
Yeah, I'd have to practice it.
Yeah.
And I'd probably sound like a douchebag using it.
I can't even think of like, yeah, I don't, yeah.
That's not going to be a word
I'm going to be using. No.
Forget it.
But thank you.
That was from The Origin of Species, which I'm currently reading.
Oh, what's that?
It's The Origin of Species by Charles Darwin.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd recommend it, but he's hella racist.
I was just going to ask you.
He's an old white guy, man.
I'm surprised that you said that you're reading this. And I was like, I thought you said he was on some fuck shit.
He is. He is. But it doesn't mean he's not right about evolution.
Okay.
He's wrong about a lot of things.
But
he happened to be right about
evolution. He was leaning towards his white male gaze, right?
Oh, yeah.
He saw the world or his theories through that. So
super racist.
Okay.
It's like a racist champion.
Yeah. You know what?
Super interesting. It's hard to read it though because he talks like Yoda.
Does he?
Yes. Yes. It's really kind of
when you
like,
read it?
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's that old English.
No thanks.
You know what I mean? That old like Renaissance fair.
Okay.
Kind of English.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I try to watch the movie.
So it's taking me forever to read it because every sentence I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And his sentences are like super long.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh, it's like Shakespeare kind of stuff.
Oh my God. I don't know if it's Shakespeare. I don't know. But maybe it's just me. Maybe everybody out there who's
like Shakespeare, right?
Who's learned, they can say, well, you just don't know words, Chloe. It's like, okay, I get that. But it's seriously out of my range in terms of like difficulty.
Okay.
So I got to read it like 3-4 times. Like I'll be done a chapter and I'll be like, fuck, I got to read that chapter again.
Aren't there like a simple, like, I guess a simple English version?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. I just want to absorb that one.
Yeah.
Seems to be talked a lot about as standard reading material for that kind of sciencey stuff. So.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. So we haven't been here for a while and I realized something that we totally ghosted our audience.
Correct. I didn't know it was a thing.
Thank you for telling me. I was like, you know what? Basically, ghosting, if you're not sure, it's breaking off a relationship by stopping all forms of comunicado.
And let me tell you
and
something.
And contact with your partner.
Yeah.
In our case, our audience.
Yes.
You, the Chonillians, without any apparent warning or justification.
Yeah, not even a deuces, y'all. Just like,
yeah.
I'll take that all on my shoulders because.
Why?
Because that's me. Like, that's something that's, like, we're going to get into a little bit later on the toxic masculinity.
Ooh.
But this is part of that. You know what I mean? This is part of, like, not... Because I'll do it, like, I'll be texting at work and I'll do it. You know what I mean? And it's just not good.
Yeah.
It's not good, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, overall, it's something that I do.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I know that I did it with this show and our audience.
Well, not only... It's not that. It's not on just all on your shoulder. It's on mine too. I'm taking it all. And I could have gone on him. I could have gone on my phone. I could have voice recorded like, listen, y'all. Things are real. Things are hard. We got to like take a moment to raise our children. Montreal's on some F shit with us. It don't like us. Like all these kind of things.
Yeah.
That we just need to take some time to kind of regroup.
Yep.
And be with ourselves and
totally
our family.
Agree. Totally
and
agree.
And that's what happened. So apologize for ghosting on y'all. And we're here. Where have you been? What do you mean? I was on this feed. You were on the other feed. Anywho, one
of
the
things. Sorry for ghosting.
Sorry. Speaking of, you talk about toxic masculinity.
Yes.
and I can't wait to go into that with that article that you read.
Mm-hmm.
You had a moment with our neighbor about who made it because you're outside.
I'm reading the show
taking
note
a break.
I'm reading the show note and it says
La police.
Right.
Comment
because we give him the nickname in our neighborhood. He's the police because he's always up in people's business.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, so we live in a crescent. Yeah. And he just knows everybody.
He's the nosy neighbor.
He's like, hey, how's it going? He goes around.
Old Trinidadian guy. Yes. Super nosy.
Yes. Yes. So you're out there taking a break.
But I when I saw La Police, I thought it was L.A. police. I was like, L.A. police. Oh. Come, right? So I was out there and I just came out just for a quick toke. And then the police next door.
The neighborhood police.
Yeah, neighborhood police guy. He's like, so what are you up to? I was like, not even hello, nothing. I just like,
now, when you first told me that, I thought he said that to you because you're smoking a toke. And originally I was gonna be like, yeah. Does he not know it's legal now?
Well, either way, he wasn't. Like, okay. He didn't know that that's what I was out there for when he addressed me. Like, he couldn't see it or anything.
Oh, okay.
So then I told him, I said, well, I'm just inside doing my daughter's hair. And that to him, like his face went from like inquisitive to being like completely puzzled. Like, just like, what? He's like, what? Don't you have a wife for that? And I was like, whoa.
Did he say that?
Yes, that's what he said. And I said, well, she does other stuff, you know, and I'm just trying to be helpful where I can be helpful. And he just, and then our neighbor who was sitting with him, he's the one who had to correct him and said, like, no, she taught him how to do the hair.
Yeah, black man, got my back.
Yeah, so we all laughed and came inside, but I couldn't help but like, whoa, like,
but you know,
like, for him to default,
yes,
you know what I mean, to like not seeing that, like, I get it, it's the older generation.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
My dad would probably be the same way,
for sure.
Probably be like, what
why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not even like, oh, that's cool, but it's like, come on, dude.
But you know, our being conditioned, like, they're older, right? That thing is real, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm also conditioned. I remember it was like pulling teeth for you to do this for the girls with me.
Right.
I take full acknowledgement and awareness.
I didn't know this.
It was very, very difficult for me.
Wow.
It made me feel like I'm not being a woman. I'm not being a good mother.
I never even thought, oh my God.
I never shared that with you until today. Like, I was like, I'm, how, I can't tell my friend. Like, I was like, even with my closest friends, I know some of them would have like, he does their hair. And I know, like, it's the condition of patriarchy and like, and roles and like how we're certain genders have certain roles.
Yep.
And so it was really hard. And at first I didn't know why. Cause you'd be like, well, can you just show me? Can you just explain to me? I was like,
yeah, so, yeah.
I would just show you like just you'd do be this so, and this and this.
Yeah. You'd be, you know what you were? You were like the worst IT person ever. You know what I mean? Like, cause like
it was like a move. Let me just do it. Right?
Yeah. Let's just here. It's like, oh, come on.
Can you just explain it to me? Like step by step. Yeah. But it
like, how do you know how much pomade to put in? Like, how do you know this?
It really messed with my head, with my, specifically my ego. And I realized like, you know what? And I had to tell myself, you need to stop. This is that conditioning of society who's been telling both of you that this is what I'm supposed to do and what he's supposed to do. And just be happy. Like, isn't that what you want? You want him to be more helpful because you do so much? Like, I went through all of that in my head. And you're like, just be grateful that he's willing to do this. Because black, come on now. You listen, okay? Listen, curly hair is not easy, okay? I mean, it's one thing with my own.
Tell me about it.
It's not. So for you to take this was like, it took me. How long have you been doing the girls' hair now?
Oh, quite a while.
I'd say a good couple of years. Two years at least.
I think as soon as we, I don't know if I was doing it when we finished the show or when we went on break.
So it's safe to say a good, because we've been on break for a good 4 years. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I'd say a good 2 years you've been really like taking helm. Like fully, that's, Clove does girl's hair.
Yeah.
And the girl's hair. And then so I'd say a good 2 years, 2 years and a half. But it took me a good year. Like that moment when you wanting to like get
that
information from
me. That explains a lot.
I was just like,
Can't give all these secrets to this white man.
Oh, all of that. All of that. All of that. It was like, you know. And now I share it. I take pictures. I was like, you know, I'm okay with it. But it really was a thing. Like, am I being a good mother and womanly enough that I'm not like, you know.
Damn.
And then I was like, girl, you struggle with your own hair. It's hard enough with your hair. Then now you got three to handle. So I'm grateful and thankful that you do the girl's hair. Thank you so much for nerding up. That's one thing I appreciate about you.
Yeah.
You go full nerd on anything. Like...
on everything.
On everything.
If I'm doing it, I'm...
practicality, you're about like, no, I need to know what is the chemistry component ingredients in what I'm putting. Like, you go that level.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, it took me... I realized how much conditioning is a thing.
Yeah.
And gender roles.
Thanks for sharing
that. We've been taught is a thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
It absolutely is.
So kudos for you too, to go out and name, like, yeah, I knew my girl's hair. You know?
I'm not worried.
You
want to take a break?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
All right, sweetie.
Hey. I can hardly hear myself.
Can you really? You should turn yourself up.
Ah, here
you go.
There
you go. You got your own volume knob.
Here we go. Volume knob.
All right. Where are we at?
The kids. Back to school week. Super duper duper fun.
Yeah.
So back to school was Monday. No, Tuesday, right? Because it was Labor Day weekend and stuff. And in the morning, as usual, our girls, you know, for the past whatever years of being at elementary school, they get a school bus. That's the beauty of being here in Toronto. Mm. And so we waited a little bit longer than...
Oh, okay, yeah.
That morning, because she was late, and I get it. It's, you know, new route.
I think it's always happened every year where the
every
first
year.
Time they show up, it's late.
Always. Yeah. That's
so it's expected.
Yeah. So their school has a new, they went to a new bus company, and they have a new bus driver. Our previous bus driver, she was so amazing, always on time.
Looking out for our kids.
All the time, right. And so... So this new lady comes. We weren't too sure which we thought she'd be on the side where we usually wait for the bus, but she came in through the opposite side.
Totally speeding too.
Oh
yeah, she was coming down fast.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. And the streets here are kind of where we are a little bit narrow because of parking, right?
It's a school zone too.
That too. And so she gets to us because we were like, maybe we'll go to a different older intersection,
right?
Maybe I'm thinking, just in case if she turns in, we'll see her. So we wait there. She finally arrives. She's like, as she arrives, the doors close, and we're just like standing there, like, is she gonna open the door yet?
Yeah, she clearly stopped for us, and she just like, we're waiting for the doors to open,
right? Because
and she reaches down beside herself, like turning away from us, and just pulls out this paper and starts going through this paper.
Right. She's totally like, kerfuffled, confused.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm late.
I got to deal with these parents. Da, da, da.
Yeah. So then.
You know what? I'm sure it's. Okay. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe she just had an altercation with a parent because she was so late. Right. And maybe that was kerfuffling her. But our girls were the first ones on the bus.
Right. They were the first to be picked up. And or maybe I thought, okay, maybe she's clearly trying to get an idea of where to go. So I get the kerfuffleness.
Sure.
And then I said, okay, yes, this is the right location. And so you're going to be picking them up the opposite. And she goes, yes. She shows me the paper where the girls are going to be dropped off, which would be closest to the intersection of our house.
I'm like,
beautiful. That's perfect.
Gotcha.
Actually, it's more convenient that way, so they don't have to cross the street.
Sure,
safer.
Is.
And so, so then she shows me the paper. She takes off. She's like this, I don't know, what would you say? Give or take 60-something-year-old lady. 60-ish. White, you know, gray hair, used to probably color hair blonde, and now she's just like, I'm just gonna let it go.
Not sure why that's important.
I don't know, but anywho.
She's wearing a bale of hay on her hair. Okay, got it.
Yeah. No, she's not.
Okay,
like,
go.
It's just her hair is grayed out. And so, okay, cool. So then it's the afternoon, and I told I decided not to work that day because it's first day of school. Just anything. I just want to be fully there for the girls, right?
Gotcha.
I don't want to be occupied like by anything.
Yep.
So I'm not working. I'm now working part time, and I'm not working on my business. Like, so I'm like, whatever. Right. So then I'm waiting for the girls. It's the afternoon. I'm waiting, checking my email, because usually two things. They'll either call if they're going to be late. Like dispatch will be like, oh, bus driver just called us to let you know they're going to be late. Or we get an email. The email comes in first. Uh-huh. Didn't receive an email. I'm like, oh, what's going on?
They ghosted you.
Totally. So then I'm like, huh. And then our neighbor was like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. And she's right. Like, the girls are not here yet. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm checking. And as we're having the conversation, like, that's odd. That's strange. Girls should be here. Get a call. I'm like, oh, I think it might be the bus company. And I call. I answer the call. And it's baby, right? It's Tia. And she's like, mom. You know, she talks. I'm like, hey. Yeah. I'm like, where are you? And she's like, I'm at school. And I'm like, she's talking to me in French, but it's noisy. Uh-huh. I'm like, can you just talk to me in English? Like, where are you? And then she's like, I'm at school. I'm like, ooh, did you miss your bus? Where's your sister? I thought maybe she missed her bus. Uh-huh. She's like, oh, she's there too. I'm like, wait, what's going on? And she's like, the bus didn't come. I was like, what do you mean? Like, we're waiting for the bus. I'm like, wait, hold on. Let me talk to an adult. Is there a teacher, someone? So she hands over to an adult. It's the teacher who's watching the kids. And I'm like, what's going on? And she said, are you coming to get the kids? I'm like, yes, but what happened? And she said, oh, so the bus driver supposedly decided not to do the route. And I was like, wait, what? Wait,
are you come again?
Are you sure? And then she's like, are you coming? Are you on your way? And I'm like, yes, I'm on my way. So I go get to the school. So then So then I'm at the administrative office, and she's like, whew, stressed balls. You could just feel it. And then there's another lady, black woman, and I'm thinking like, oh, that's another parent we're both going to inquire to see what's going on. And so she's like on the phone, and I'm overhearing the conversation like, where's this kid? Uh-huh. Because her sister is here. And where's this other kid? Because her parent is here. Like, what? Uh-huh. Like, she's just, you know. And then I'm like, oh. They're like, I'm like, this is nuts. And she's like, yeah, I'm speaking to the black lady as the administrator's doing her thing on the phone. Uh-huh. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, are you here to pick up one of your kids? She's like, oh, no, I'm the principal. So they have a new principal.
Gotcha.
And so I met the new principal right there. I'm like, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so's parents, you know, like I'm so-and-so's mom. And then. And she's cool, calm, collected. She's like, yeah, we're trying to figure it out. And then so finally the administrator hangs up the phone. I'm like, so what's going on? Like, what's happening? She's like, I don't know. I was like, what do you mean you don't know? She's like, we're trying to get some information from them. I'm calling them. They're not answering their phone. I'm like, what's the...
We got a lobby full of kids and phones full of angry parents. Right. Like, what's happening?
I said, because one teacher over the phone told me that the bus driver decided not to do the route. And she's like, I have no idea. I have no... Don't know what's going on. We're trying to figure it out. And I was like, okay, well, how can I help? I asked maybe, should I like... Maybe are there some kids you know that lives in our neighborhood? And she's like, that's very nice of you. But then I thought about it like, yeah, they don't know me. That would be weird. They can't do that. And so I get home. So we get in the car. I'm like, this is nuts. I have no idea what's happening.
Right.
So, and I was like, is there a bus? Oh, this is what I ask. After she's like, I have no idea. I said, is there a bus that's going to come pick up these kids that's waiting in the lobby?
Yeah, where's the backup?
What's happening? Right. Like, what's plan B? And she's like, that's what we're trying to get. Like, we don't know anything.
Wow.
And I'm like, what's the company name? I don't even know the company name. I'm calling the school board to let us know what's happening and what's the company name and all of that. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay. It's just nuts. So then I'm like, okay, so we get the girls in the car, and I'm like, that's really messed up. Uh-huh. Like, why would, there's no backup. One teacher tells me that the driver decided not to do the route. That's really weird. Yeah.
And the research I did said that that's not uncommon. said that, like, when I looked it up and I sent you those links.
Yeah, the Bunsman, is that how you say it? Ontario, yeah. Or something like that? Anyway.
Yeah, we'll have to...
I know, I'm not saying the word right.
It's a weird pronouncing thing. Yeah. We'll follow up with it. And basically, they were saying on their site that it was, like, common, you know, not that uncommon for bus drivers to be like, yeah, I don't like this route, or this route is too far from my home. Because from what I understand, they don't get paid to and from the route. They only get paid when they're driving the route.
Oh.
So if the route is far away, they can opt out.
Oh.
But what I didn't realize is that they can opt out midday, that they can opt out any, you know, like I was like, that's the part that didn't stand out to me as being.
They put that in that article.
No. When I read the article, I was thinking to myself, like, that doesn't seem right. It doesn't, something about this doesn't seem right. That they can just opt out of this.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they can just leave kids stranded. That's crazy.
They could choose when. Yeah, they could choose the route that they want.
It didn't seem like in this article that they were acknowledging that. It didn't seem like they were like, sometimes, you know, your kid can get stranded.
And it wasn't from their website. This article was like to point out that this has been an issue where, you know, this is happening. Mm-hmm. And also, bus drivers... There's a lack of bus drivers in Ontario. There's not that many. It just keeps going down. And they're not getting paid very well, which is crazy. I mean, it's your kids. You want to make sure they're paid well. You want to make sure they're driving safe. Because being in a bus full of kids, it's freaking stressful, man.
Yeah. So the website that I got this information from was Ombudsman.
Mm-hmm. Ontario.
Yeah. So ombudsman.on.ca/home. If you go there, supposedly it's got all the information.
And isn't that a person, like a lawyer who's like a mediator kind of thing? I could be wrong on that, but I'd have to dig
in a little bit more.
Wait, how do you spell I never know.
Ombuds.
There we go.
Man.
Ombudsman. Ombudsman. Or public advocate is an official who is charged with representing the interest of the public by investigating and addressing complaints of maladministration or a violent violation of rights.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's what they do. Okay.
That's perfect.
So thank you for sharing me that article, because you're like, oh yeah, that's like a thing. They've been investigating on this stuff, this problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then as I'm talking to I'm in the car, Tia was like, the baby, she's like, oh, I overheard one teacher telling another teacher that she just didn't want to do the route. Like, she just left. Like, she doesn't want to do this.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, left? Like, wait, what do you mean left?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this is not right.
Because the whole time we're thinking in our heads that there is a layer here that's like 30 kids.
Right.
And some of these decisions are like, wait, but what about this layer of 30 kids?
Yeah. So there's like, I'd say give or take between, I'd say a good 15 kids that's waiting in the lobby now.
Right.
Right. Minus the two that I just got.
Right. And my kids are safe. Bye. Right.
But it didn't sit well with me that there's a bunch of kids like that.
Of course not.
And so I looked, I was like, where's the office? Now, some weird way in the morning.
Yeah, because then you would have done what the bus driver did. Bye, kids. You know what I mean? Like, but you can't. Like your nature is like,
I'm a mother.
No.
And when you're a mom, you just become not just a mom for your kids, but for every, like, communal kind of thing. And so so I'm like, what the hell? And so
early in
the morning, I started, I wanted to know who's the new company, and I looked into it. And, you know, it was one of those things where I pulled up the company on Google, and then it gave me all the different offices. So I knew, oh, this is a company has a big fleet of school buses.
Right.
And I remember seeing one in our area, our district kind of thing.
Okay.
You put it at the back of your head or whatever. So when I got in the car and then she told me, I overheard the teacher say to another teacher this, I'm like, oh, hell no. Let me check with her offices. And I said, girls, listen, if the office is not too far, we are going to the bus company's office. And
because that's how you do.
Right.
Yeah.
And then So the middle one, Lita's like, oh, I just, you know, I'm really tired.
Because she knows what's about to happen.
Right.
She knows.
And then
She knows you're not leaving until you get answers.
And then baby Tia, she's like, okay.
It's drama time.
Yeah. So I checked, I pull it up, and it's like 3 minutes away from the school.
Yeah.
So I show up. They're like, bus drivers are going in for their schedules or whatever, trying to figure things out. I talk to a guy who has wearing a vest, and he's like, how can I help? And I'm like, so here's what happened. Your bus didn't show up, and it's my daughter, who I pointed Tia, is the one who called me to let me know that her bus is not coming.
Right.
And right now there is a school of at least 15 kids sitting in a lobby, and the school has no idea where you are. I tried to call you myself. She tried to call you as well. It's very difficult to get through to somebody. So I figured I'd come to find out what happened. Yeah. Where is the bus? What's going on?
Right.
Right? So, and he's like, that sounds like something you'd have to talk to the office manager about. I'm like, yeah. And so he's like, just can you hold? He's like, not can you hold.
That sounds like something I don't want to be responsible for. Right. Please wait.
Yeah. He's like, can you just a second. Let me just get a pen and paper here. And so
okay, so I'm going to act like I care.
Yeah. So he grabs a pen and paper and he's like, can you hold for a sec? Yeah. So then he goes and talks to what I think is dispatch. And then she's finishing her thing. And then all I hear is her saying, what's going on? And he says whatever he says. I couldn't really hear what he's saying. He's being very quiet and low. Yes. And she's like, a parent? And he goes, he said whatever he said.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you mean there's a parent here? Like, wait, what?
It's like, you're not reading my mouth.
Why aren't you talking lower?
There is a parent here.
So then as they're, whatever he's saying, another lady comes out and she's like, hi, I'll just grab your name and your phone. And so she does that. And I said,
so you can leave the premises as quickly as possible,
much.
Please.
So I was like, that's great and all, but I need you to understand there are kids in the lobby. The school can't get a hold of you.
Why do you keep
ignoring
these kids?
You need to call the school because they have no idea what's going on. Like, they want to know what's happening and, you know, they need help.
Yeah.
And as she's saying that, then the dispatch lady comes out. She's like, so before the dispatch lady tells me what she tells me, the girls tells me, I said, girls, what's the name of the school bus driver? She's like, Debbie. I was like, okay, Debbie, got it. So I said to the lady,
I was going to call her Betty Bus Driver.
So this is the school bus number. Supposedly her name is Debbie, right? And then so she looks into it. She's like, oh, it's Deborah, whatever, whatever. Tia later tells me like, oh, her name starts with the letter this. I can't, it sounds like this. Anywho. So she says to me, oh, the bus is not working, and that's the reason why that the bus didn't show up. I said, so what you mean? So what you're saying is the bus is not working, but what's the plan? Like, what's going to happen to these other kids? Because from what I know of this neighborhood.
Yeah, we all agree there's a missing bus.
Right.
we all agree that.
And from what I know of this neighborhood, a lot of these parents don't have a car. I said, I'm the lucky one.
Okay.
I took the day off. I have a vehicle. My kids are with me.
Yeah.
Some parents probably still don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
A lot of them can't get to their kids right now. And the school's trying to get a hold of y'all. Like, they can't get a hold of you.
Yeah, you should be the ones who are making the first steps to make these calls.
She's like, well, usually we send an email and stuff like that.
Well, usually
I
this
said,
time you didn't.
I know that. Yeah. I know this, that to be true. And that's the reason why I waited in the corner.
So she was saying like she had already sent an email like, oh, maybe she said, you should check your email.
That's what she said. She goes, did you check your email? And I said, I did while I was at the corner waiting for my kids until she called me to tell me to come get her because the bus didn't show up.
Wow.
And she's like, well, no, we usually send an email. Oh, usually? Let's see. I pull up my phone. Yes. I'm like, look, I'm doing the search. Look, search. There's no email. I'm showing her my phone.
The weird thing is, though, when she says we usually send an email, right? What that should have been accompanied with, like, let me check our email. Let me check if we've sent an email out. Yeah. Instead of saying you should have got an email.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So weird.
So then I'm like, okay. So then she's like, oh.
Even at that point, she should have been like, well, let me check my email now.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't say, oh, but you know when someone's like there's a pause, like, uh-huh. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. And then so I said, I overheard, a teacher told me, actually, mm-hmm. that the bus driver decided not to do the route. Is that true? Like, what's going on? And she's like, no, not at all. You don't understand, she said. I'm looking at her. There is no bus for her to get to the school. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought there's... So I'm like, in my brain is thinking, so at first you said the bus is not working.
The bus is broken.
And now you're telling me she has no bus.
The bus has disappeared. She's making it worse. She thinks she's giving you good information, but it's like, no, you're making it worse.
Right. I'm like,
And these kids still don't have a plan B to get to the home.
She's like, listen, let me grab your name and number. I said, she actually just grabbed my phone number and my name. And then she's like, oh, okay, great. And she's like, we'll call you.
You're what? You're she?
The first lady.
Oh, okay, okay.
Right?
Okay,
okay. So I explained to the dispatch lady that your colleague actually already has that information.
Gotcha.
And so then her colleague gave her the paper. And then so she's like, she'll call me. I said, actually, that's great. You're calling me. But what you need to do
is
to
kids.
Call the school.
Yeah.
So I said, here's the school name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the number of the bus.
Yeah.
You need to call them because this is the reason why I'm here. If I can't get a hold of you, they can't get a hold of you. It's a problem.
Yeah.
And then so she's like, okay. So then I get home. I'm telling you the story. In the middle of you telling you the story, Tia says, Mom, remember when you were talking to the first lady was still in the lobby, the first lady who took my information?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second lady, who is the dispatch lady, she said Tia noticed as I was talking to the second lady, the dispatch lady, the first lady slowly walked away and said, ooh, this is bad.
Wow.
Under her breath. And Tia caught that.
Wow.
Yeah. So then she goes,
can't slip nothing by Tia.
No. So she had a big smile on her face, too.
It's like, oh my God, the plot thickens.
Like it's a Real Housewife of Atlanta thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Potomac.
Yeah. So she goes, that's all done. Later on in the day, I get a voice robot message from the school, from the bus company.
Are you still doing air quotes around the bus company?
Yes.
The bus. Because you started by saying like air quotes, like voice message from the bus company.
When I do quotes, it's mediocre.
How dare you call yourselves a bus company?
So then the voice box says that something about the bus is delayed and it will take between like 60 minutes. So if I want to wait for the bus tomorrow, I have to wait up to 60 minutes for the bus to come. So that means our kids would be late by maybe between an hour to an hour and 15 minutes late. An hour and 20 minutes late, actually, when the school already started. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm driving them until they figure this thing out. The next morning, I check my email in the morning to see the situation. Like, should I wait? Should I drive them? What should I do? The email says something along the lines like, dear parents, this is not even from the school company. This is from the school board, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what has happened is basically they said the bus drive, your kid's school bus no longer has a driver.
You're still doing air quotes.
Okay. So and we're trying to rectify.
Is that around a driver?
Yes. We're trying to fix the situation. But we've been informed that a bus may take between 90 minutes to 120 minutes to arrive to take your kids to school. And also, that's the amount of time that the kids would have to wait to take a school bus to the to their home.
Clearly, because they are not prepared to absorb this
right.
type of known uncommon thing that happens right. with bus drivers.
So I was like, what?
That's ridiculous.
So I tell my work, I'm like, listen, I have to leave at a certain time. I'll be away from my, you know, from whatever. Because this whole bus situation thing. Yeah. I'm like, that's just crazy. And then so just before I go and pick up the girls, I get a call from the office manager. So actually somebody followed up from the school, from the bus company.
Well, parents showed up at their front door.
Right. Oh, and by the way, the school board
damage control now
sent the information the night before at around 7.
Yeah, you're gonna have to plug it in though. You're not plugged in.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. At around 7:20 at night.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So hold on. Oh, that's the wrong one. Okay. So then I get a voicemail from the office manager. Do you have it up? Do you have the volume up? Good. This is the message.
Good afternoon, Shirley. This is Stock Transportation. I'm just calling with a follow-up regarding your daughter's route. Your daughter's driver did quit her job yesterday, and unfortunately now the route is without a driver. We are working on a backup plan with Francobus. They are informed. Unfortunately, right now there's going to be severe delays regarding this route and other Franco routes that are affected. If you'd like to discuss more, I'm in my office from 11 o'clock to 1:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hold on.
Not only did she quit, but they can't absorb this to the point that they have to outsource from a different company.
We don't know that.
Well, yeah, they're stock, right?
Yeah.
She said that they're getting a Franco bus.
So you have the school board who hires a bus management company. Like, I think they do the routes.
Okay.
And the routes hires the fleets, which is stock
okay.
transportation. That's the school bus company.
So what do they mean by Franco?
So Franco is, I think, the management company.
Okay.
So the bus company, she's saying,
there's so many people to blame.
Right. So the bus company is working with the fleet. This, you know, dispatch management company that works all the French school boards transportation.
Okay.
Right. So the people who don't have a driver right now, who has not that many, is Stock, the bus fleet company.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Not at all, but it just to me though. So. I'm sure you explained it very well. It's just my brain is not absorbing that nonsense.
So anyway, so there were...
I'm just so mad that it's just like somebody could say on their route, like, okay,
Debbie,
how toxic are things? Like to say, you know what? 20 kids, forget it. Bye, I'm out.
I don't know what happened to Deborah. Now, that's ridiculous. Mind you, in the morning, Deborah didn't seem very together. And...
Yeah, but that wasn't uncommon for every first day of school that we've seen with the kids and the bus drivers.
My first take when I heard from the teacher, my kids go to a very multicultural in every word school. The teachers are different, the teachers come from different backgrounds, different beliefs, everything. Kids as well, okay? There's a lot of black women. And when a black woman tells you the first thing, you take that into account, okay? When the first thing I heard was, oh, the bus driver decided not to do the route, I was like, okay, sister. Okay, I hear that, right?
I, you know what? You're talking about like a frequency that I have no idea.
because the dispatch.
Yeah.
So the dispatch at the office basically lied to my face. She said that there was a spot. Remember I said something.
I got you. Nope.
Right?
You don't have to go over it again. I'm all caught up.
Right. So then, yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm exhausted. You want to take a break?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Where we at, baby? Where we at?
Oh, I was just saying how the dispatcher basically lied to me.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah. So the kids still don't have a bus. This is going on the second week. I just got a recent email. And we need a bus driver, y'all.
That's crazy.
Ontario is lacking, and we need some black women. Oh, no, let's not put it on the backs of black women or anything, because we go through so much. Right. So I have to be their bus, their transportation, really. Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Bible scriptures, one out, two, one out.
Yeah! It's that time, Shirley. We're picking it up. We're going to get our scripture on. And we're going to get into chapter 10 of the book of Joshua. Yes. It's been so long.
So long.
Oh, my gosh. Hopefully I'll be able to get through this.
Now, before you
get stuttering too much.
It's okay. Now, before you get into this.
Yeah.
We need a little history for our new listeners. Like, what is this?
Oh. Okay. So, Bible Scriptures 90210 is where I read the Bible.
Yes.
And then I regurgitate it back out to y'all.
Yes.
And
because it's the best drama.
Oh my gosh.
90210 style.
Off the charts drama.
Welcome back, 90210. I got some catching up to do. The show's back too. I'm excited to yes, I am gonna check it out.
Okay, so the last time I talked about the Gibeonites sending some messengers that pretended to be from a far place.
Okay.
And Joshua found this out, and only after he promised not to kill them, but instead curses them to be their servants forever.
Now, who's Joshua again? Is this Moses' buddy?
Damn.
We'll have to go back into, yeah. If you need to catch up, you listen to go back to our archives and just go on Spreaker, look for Chonilla, and in previous episodes, you will catch from Genesis to now.
Yes.
Okay.
You get yourself all caught up.
Yes.
Joshua chapter 10. I call this one King Kong Ain't Got Nothing on Me.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So Adoni-Zedek, he's the king of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And he hears about the Israelites destroying the city of Jericho and the city of Ai, which is pronounced, or which is not pronounced, but spelled A-I. But he also heard that the Gibeonites somehow managed to strike a deal to spare them from being massacred by the Israelites.
Okay.
This was a big deal because the city of Gibeon mm-hmm. was bigger than the city of Ai. It was so big that it was considered to be a royal city that had like really, really tough dudes in it.
Okay. Yeah. Gladiators like.
Right. Grrr, toxic masculinity. Rawr. So Adoni-Zedek decides to join forces with four other kings in the area. And it's all like, listen, fellas, this Joshua guy is no joke, and he needs to be stopped. We need to kick the shit out of the Gibeonites for being allies to Joshua and the Israelites.
Okay.
So the other kings agree and decide to start the attack toot sweet.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Gibeonites send messengers to Joshua, all like, Joshua, you need to help us. We're being attacked by five kings and their armies. You have to help us. So Joshua rounded up all the toughest dudes, and God was like, don't worry about nothing, Josh. They're all yours to kill. So because Joshua responded so quickly to the distress call from the Gibeonites, he caught them all off guard.
Nice.
This made the five kings of the Amorites and their armies confused, and they didn't know what to do. So they started to all run away.
Okay.
But Joshua and his army would chase them down and kill everyone
that
was running away from them. It was fucking bananas. That is
Remy Ma petty level. They're like, oh, you running?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. We are not letting you get away.
There is zero escape from death today.
Get over here. Okay.
So, yeah, so as they're like running away, I guess God drops like a bunch of hailstones on the fleeing armies.
Ooh.
And the Bible says more men died from the hail than from Joshua's army. So God was like, no, I got this.
Yeah. Got it.
So Joshua then yelled at the sun to stop moving in front of the Israelites, and it did.
Wait.
He said, hey, sun,
Like the sun.
Stop moving.
Sun.
Yeah.
As in Mr.
The sun in the sky.
Sun. Mr. Golden Sun.
Did he shine your light on me?
Yep. Okay, got it.
And for some reason, the moon stopped to move as well.
Well, why would the moon be involved?
I don't know. Maybe it's because they're all connected through the cosmos.
Okay.
I don't know.
Moon's like,
I don't know.
It's gravity. Not my business.
So in this chapter, it's like Joshua has the power to like control like astrophysics. Like, it's, yeah, he's got that kind of clout.
Got it.
So the Bible says this effect lasted like 24 hours, so that Israel could slaughter its enemies. And at this point, the Bible mentions that this was all written in the book of Jashar. You know, as like implying that that's evidence that this event actually took place. It's like a book saying like, you know, this is true because this other book talks about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, in the Wikipedia entry, it says that the Book of Jashar, which is also called Pseudo Jashar, is an 18th century literary forgery.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, supposedly, this was the first and last time God ever listened to the orders of a human being. But it happened.
Wait.
Yeah. According to Joshua chapter 10,
okay,
God did something from a human being commanding it.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. That was, you said, and it's the first and last time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it says, blah, blah,
I get
blah.
It. That's a parenting move, man. It's just like the kids when they were younger and they're toddlers and they had their tantrum the first time. I told them, the first and the last time, yeah, this tantrum. So enjoy it while it lasts.
Yep.
But this is not going to happen again.
Never
did.
Never. So, and according to the Bible, this was proof that God was on the side of the Israelites.
Ah.
Because Joshua was able to say, hey, God.
Can you like move,
yeah, can
the
I get
sun?
A lend a hand
it's
with this?
Really bright.
Yeah. Can you help out? Because, you know, we need to kill like a whole bunch of people. And God was like, sure, I got this. So once all the murdering was done, they all camped out back in a place called Gilgal.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we find out that the five Amorite kings managed to get away and were hiding inside caves in a place called Makkedah.
Okay.
And as soon as Joshua found out where they were, he was all like, you know, push those giant rocks in front of their caves and put some guards around it. But more importantly, don't forget that God wants us to kill our enemies. Attack them as they're running away before they get back to their fortified cities.
Huh.
Yeah. So Joshua and the Israelites killed all the enemies they could find, but still a few of them managed to escape to their homes. Then the whole army gathered up in camp and nobody was talking shit about the Israelites. Ba-bow.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. It just made me think of all these like the five kings. Mm-hmm. And then you think of all these like these stories like in Game of Thrones, it was the king and then he had four other dudes with him. Mm-hmm. Or Lord of the Rings and the like five kings, like all these
the fellowship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like always like five, you know, anyway. So I could see the inspirations. Okay.
Yeah, I see. So then Joshua was like, open the caves and bring me the kings. Because remember how I just said like he
locked them in.
Yeah, he locked them into their caves. So once the kings were at Joshua's feet, he told all his commanders to physically step on the necks of the kings.
To like while they're down?
Yeah. While they're on the floor, he said, come on over here and step on his neck. He's not that. He's
like,
not, he's
like
not a badass.
Step to death?
Just step on his neck.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he told all of them to go step on the necks of the kings. And he was all like, don't be scared, guys. This is a gift from God. And he wants us to do this to all our enemies. Don't worry about it.
Oh, boy.
Right. So then Joshua impaled the kings onto poles and left them on the poles until nighttime.
Ooh.
When the sun went down, because, you know, Joshua can... Okay, time to go down, son.
Right.
When the sun went down, Joshua ordered the kings to be taken down as well and placed back in the cave where they were hiding. And then he closed
while
the caves.
Dead.
Yeah.
With sticks, yes, sticking in their heads.
They're totally impaled. They've been impaled, whoa, for 24 hours, and he's like, put them back in the caves. And supposedly, those rocks are still there.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Uh-huh. And I gotta find out. I gotta go back to the previous episodes. Like, who is Joshua again? I think it's Moses, dude.
We'll clear it up because I still got more books of Joshua to do. So next episode, I'll make sure to have that information.
I think it's Moses, dude. Mm. Yes.
Because I remember what I used to do is I used to call out the players of who was going to be in the chapter.
Yes.
Yeah. So I didn't do that this time, but I'll do it for next time.
I think it's Moses, dude.
Okay. We'll find out. So in this part of the Bible, it talks about conquering all the cities to the south, starting with the city of Mekedah, where Joshua killed everybody and impaled their king.
Okay.
Then the Israelites took over the city of Libna, killed everybody and impaled their king. After those two cities were conquered, they moved on to attacking a place called Lachish. They killed everybody, guess what they did? Impaled their king.
Wow.
While all this murdering was going on, Horam, the king of Jezer, came up to help the people of Lachish, but ultimately got slaughtered with no survivors. Then Joshua took over the city of Eglon, killed everybody and impaled their king. Once again, no survivors. Then Joshua attacked a place called Debir, killed everybody, impaled their king. Like, there's a lot of genocide happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one genocide after the next.
Treat your assistants properly, because then they go.
Yeah, and God's on their side, too. So, no stopping them, I guess. So Joshua and the Israelites managed to kill everybody in the entire region because God really wanted them to have everything.
Everything.
Opulence.
Everything.
The Bible says Joshua managed to take over everything from a place called Kadesh Barnea to a place called Gaza. Oh. So Joshua managed to do this all at once because God was fighting for Israel, according to the Bible.
Okay.
Once they were done, everybody went back to the camp of Gilgal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to have to re-listen to all of this again.
Yes. So next time we'll hear about all the kings from the north joining forces to try and fight Joshua and the Israelites.
Wow. I'm trying to realize the whole lesson here.
Mm-hmm. Don't fuck with Joshua.
Yeah. You know why?
Why, sweetie?
You know why? Fast flirt and donate. Fast flirt and donate. Fast flirt and donate. Fast flirt, you gotta donate. Oh, we learned about
Blows my mind.
I still have some catching up to do on the previous, just before Joshua doing his thing.
Okay.
Just kind of helped me clarify, like, well, why was he doing that in the first place?
Do you want to know what I'll do? I'll do that for the next episode. For the next episode, I'll do a primer to get us all caught up.
Yes.
To who's what and doing what and where we are.
Yep. Yes.
But you ready for a break?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So, been a few things going on in the news.
News. I like the news.
Voices don't sound like that anymore. What is in the news?
Okay, what's happening, baby?
The news is not bad.
So what's happening in Toronto? Protesters. So Canada has its first grand. There was a grand opening in Toronto for Chick-fil-A's. It's the only Canadian location.
Boo.
On Friday, protesters crashed the grand opening, sending a loud message that the company's anti-LGBTQ history would not be ignored. And also there were dozens of animal rights and indigenous activists as well. And when they asked the reason why they, what was said is the reason why we're all together here is because the Chick-fil-A Corporation donates millions of dollars against organizations and lobby groups that actively campaign against queer people having the right to exist, a right to live, said Ryan Tapley, who is a member of the 519. So that was the group, the 519. The controversy stems from CEO Dan Cathy, who publicly stated he only supports the biblical definition of the family unit back in 2012, and the company supporting anti-LGBTQ organizations. So they donated a lot of money to that. So that didn't resonate very well, specifically with that group, hence why there's been protests. So I don't know what's going on now this weekend. I don't know if the protest continues, but that's what's been happening in Toronto.
Yikes.
There was an interesting article about a shocking number of Americans who just want to let them all burn.
I saw this in the Facebook group. Yeah.
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 So there's a paper called A Need for Chaos,
yeah,
and the Sharing of Hostile Political Rumors in Advanced Democracies that came out in August of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But they just won an award from the American Political Science Association. Anyway, the researchers from Denmark, Aarhus University, I hope I'm saying it right, and Temple University were interested in why people spread hostile political rumors online. And so what they did is they started asking their subject if they agreed with statements like, I fantasize about a natural disaster wiping out most of humanity such that a small group of people can start all over. They also asked statements like, I think society should be burned to the ground. Another one is, sometimes I just feel like destroying beautiful things.
Yeah.
What?
That's some Fight Club shit. That's some white boy Fight Club shit.
And another one is, the last one is, the last statement is, there is no right and wrong in this world.
Yeah.
And so one explanation is that there is an increasingly polarized age. Partisans are more likely to share nasty bits of gossip, true or not, about their political opponents. The paper's authors favor a much more disturbing conclusion. The impulse to share hateful rumors are associated with chaotic motivations to burn down the entire established democratic cosmos.
Wow.
The extreme discontent is associated with motivations to share hostile political rumors, not because such rumors are viewed to be true, but because they are believed to mobilize the audience against disliked elites.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
What the research found is that after...
It's like they have this one-track mind that they could give a fuck about their neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just a group of people who likes to be assholes.
Yeah. They love it. They love learning new language that helps them insert themselves as assholes
into... They love chaos.
..conversations about progress.
They love chaos. Yeah, yeah. They want... People like Steve Bannon?
They jack off to it.
Look to create chaos.
Yeah, they bend over, jack off to it, and come in their own faces. Blah, 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 blah. They love that shit.
It's because they... I think it's a control thing.
Yeah.
It's a deep control. It leans more on the control and somewhat power. Like, they want to know, if I can create madness, is that possible? Do I have the power to create a sense of madness
in this world? Or how much power do I have over this person I'm talking to? How much power do I have over, like, people that scare me?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And when it comes to that, you cannot you cannot even have a conversation with someone like that. No. Why bother?
No. Because they're getting off more on you being frustrated about them. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're okay with that. They're okay with, like, and I've had conversations with people where they're all over the place. You know what I mean? It's like, they'll say something and I'll address that, and then they'll talk about something new as though it's what they originally started talking about. Oh. And it's like, wait a minute. That's different. Those are different things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's the thing is, and when that happens, it tells me that the person isn't listening to me.
At all.
They are trying to just be able to think that they're in a position that pisses somebody off. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's like they smirk on their face when they say something like, "Oh, I didn't realize I affected you so much."
Oh man. And you see it. And they get a high off of that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So the paper notes that
creepy as fuck.
None of the findings predict something drastic like revolution or sudden political upheaval in the U.S. The study provides insight into the kinds of thoughts and behaviors that people are motivated to entertain when they sit alone in front of the computer answering surveys or surfing social media platforms, the authors write. Mm-hmm. They add, in an age of fake news and hostile political rumors, system defeating does not take much more than that. A few chaotic thoughts that leads to a few clicks to retweet or share is enough.
Gotcha.
They
want to see it burn.
Yeah. Yeah. So when people, that's the reason why I can't stress, it's hard. I think I say it not only on the microphone, but out loud to myself. You cannot entertain a troll.
No.
Like, do not. Completely ignored. They ghost the hell out of them. Like, they don't exist. Do not say anything. Do not reply back. Because as soon as you do, it's like, they're in the zone. You're getting into their zone. And that's what they want. Come here. Come play with me. Mm-hmm. Come. I want to piss you off.
Yeah. And, you know, and there is something to be said about, like, somebody else overhearing this or somebody, like, learning new language that they're aligned with. You know, but that can go either way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, I agree with you. It's like there's certain layers of context where I think I would need to say something, right? Like, if I was in a room, you know what I mean? And there's, like, you know, 11 white people there and one person of color, and, you know, something is said. Something has to be said at that point.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But if I'm online and I'm scrolling and I see somebody say some dumb shit,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At that point, I'm making decisions. Like, is this towards a person I know? Is this towards,
you know what I mean? Do I care about this person? Yeah. Do I even care?
Yeah. It's like,
should I even bother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they trolling me?
Oh, my God.
Are they just making a statement just to make a statement? Then they don't really want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, not even have to say. No, they don't want a conversation.
Yeah.
They're going to mask it like they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, the worst is when you just, I'm just sharing my opinion. No, you're not.
Mm-mm.
No, you're not. Mm-mm. Because opinions are, we can have a
opinions
discussion.
Can change.
Exactly. It's not about trying to convince me that you're right or who's right, who's wrong. It's about sharing thoughts and ideas and perspectives and just really, like, let's learn from one another. Let's be open. Let's not shut down. Let's not put down. You know what I mean? All, like, yeah. Anywho.
Fuck that. Yeah. If I find out I'm talking to a Nazi, fuck them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Why bother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You also, there's something you learn in the group about, like, an article related to, that was written, I believe, by Henry Rollins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was about, let me bring it up here. It was about this author named Jared Yates Sexton, and he wrote a book called The Man They Wanted Me to Be. And I just, from reading this article, I'm going to pick up the book and I'm going to read it. Yeah, because, you know, I've heard Henry Rollins say some things that make sense. And I've also heard him say some things that were a little bit, you know, kind of exposed and privileged. But what he's saying about this and this article, I relate. I totally relate to the messages of toxic masculinity, getting those as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. And not just getting them as a kid, but getting them all growing up. Yeah. I mean, you get them from within your household and you get them from outside of your household, mm-hmm. especially like living in a white supremacy. Mm. You know what I mean? That's part of it.
What were some of the things in the article you remember that stood out?
His interactions with his dad. You know what I mean? And I remember, like, there was times, Shirley, where I came home and I was like, I had to pretend like I had gotten into some kind of violent altercation. You know what I mean? And I would relay that to my dad because I thought that that's how I'd get approval.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm so the opposite of that.
Yeah.
That I dreaded getting into an altercation. You know what I mean? So, because if I got into an altercation and I lost, holy fuck, that would be even worse. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how my dad would react to that at the time, anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he, like, there was a time, I don't know if I said this on the show before, but there was, like, all from me knowing him up until I moved out. And it's funny because I moved out around like 16, 17. And all that time he was telling me that at that age, he was going to take me out back and beat the shit out of me. Wow. Just randomly.
Just like that. Out just of randomly. Nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Like if there was a mention about my age, right? He just, don't forget.
I'll kick your ass one day.
Yeah. As soon as
we're
you turn.
We're going to do it.
As soon as you turn 16, we're going out back. I'm going to kick the shit out of you.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Gonna beat your ass.
I'd love to know it. If
constant threat of violence in the house, and that is part of toxic masculinity. I mean, that aggression that comes out with it, and I'm telling you, Shirley, it impermeates every level of your life. The way I walk into a room, do you know what I mean? Like with a frown, with an air, basically, it's like this. You know what? I'm gonna call it a shield. Do you know what I mean? A shield of insecurity. Do you know what I mean? Because you. It's everywhere, Shirley. It's anytime you want to say something to somebody, here's the deal. If I'm with somebody who I know that I could either convince or manipulate or do, you know, just be able to get something from them, I have to consciously tell myself to not do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
I have to say, like, that is abhorrent. That's not what people do to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all growing up, it was all about finding where I could get what
take
I need.
Advantage.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Get what you need.
Yes.
Get what you want, no matter those kind of things.
Yeah. And part of that comes with, for me, was the conflict of like using aggression, but making sure that I skirted a line that I wouldn't get called out on it.
Do you know what I mean?
Because if I got called out on it, it's like, I wouldn't know what to do. Do you know what I mean? So it was always a balancing act. And it's horrible. It's stressful. It's anxious. It's leads to depression.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what's so funny? When you're a woman and you see that in a man, because you like you're
you'll see it eventually.
You'll see it, and you call it out. Mm-hmm. They call us bitches. They call us angry. No. Yeah, it's like, wait, I'm angry because I'm calling out on your bullshit. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying you're full of shit.
Right.
And me like, oh, what?
Yeah.
You're being a bitch. Really?
But you see, that's that escalation of aggression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're shutting the aggression down because you're like, dude, no. Yeah.
I can't wait to read this book. I'm not the one. Because I really only, I guess, started to put language to those feelings and those thoughts and stuff like that. And I really hope that this book can help with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
It's a thing. It is a thing.
It's, you know, it's a word. It's a thing. And some dudes, oh man, sometimes I'm on the street. I see guys. I observe. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I always thought, when I was a kid, I thought it was kind of weird, you know, but I think I know why. It's because of what happened to me. And it just put a third eye in my behavior.
Gotcha.
Always watching out for things, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes me also watch the way people move and the way, you know, nonverbal language.
Yes.
And sometimes, man, there are some dudes you could tell have some deep toxic masculinity.
Here's a good example of that.
Based on how they walk. And I'm like,
yeah,
I am stressed for them.
Yes.
Because there's a stiffness and an uncomfortableness the way they're walking. And I'm like,
forearms are tight, knuckles are white. Yeah.
And I'm like, uncomfortable to just put on this persona that you have on your, that you put on yourself, or maybe your family, your society, your parents, whatever. And you see it the way they walk, and you just, I just like, oof, that's, I'm uncomfortable for you. Mm-hmm. And you have maybe, I'm no idea. Some dudes, you are like, you see the ones where it's like, they don't know they're doing that. Mm-hmm. The worst is the ones that you know they're doing that. Mm. And they know they're doing that. Mm. And they choose to, like, they have this conception of...
That's borderline sociopath, though. You know what I mean? Like, if you know that you're being, like, intimidating douchebag and you love it.
Like, society tells me to be like this. Mm-hmm. So if I walk like that, mm-hmm. it means that I'm alpha, or it means that I'm going to be respected. It means whatever. And you're
this
like,
this is how a real man walks. Or, yeah.
And it's like, wow. Yeah. Wow, man.
It's some shit.
I think that's it. That's it. Man, we ain't got nothing else to talk about.
Okay, then.
But we're going to wrap it up. Listen, join the group. Just simply go to Facebook and search the Chonilla Podcast, and that's the group. That's where you'll find all the cool things that we found and that we're talking about on the show right now. And you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, iHeart, CastBox. Mm-hmm. Please leave a review. You can email us if you have any questions, any fun questions you want to ask us, relationship questions, advice. If you're in a Chonilla relationship, interracial relationship, and there's some fuck shit going on, and you're like, I don't know what to do about this. My stepmother is really like, or my mother-in-law, or father-in-law, or... just email us chonillalove@gmail.com. And you can find us on Twitter, Chonilla.
All right, take care, everybody.
That was fun.
Thanks for tuning in. We love you.
Oh, wait. Are we still recording?
Yeah.
I forgot the quote.
Oh, yes.
The quote.
Yes.
Like, something feel right.
Go for it.
Sunday clears away the rust of the whole week. Anonymous. Remember that. Just say it.
I'll never forget it.
Okay.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. That's it. Hello.
Wait. You're still listening to podcasts? Well, if you love this episode of the Chonilla Podcast so much, just head over to iTunes or Spotify to subscribe and leave a review. I guess.